Mr. Mann, first of all, go ahead.
Vielen Dank, Frau.
Thank you very much, Madam Chairman. The question was, are men to be useful at all? Are they useful? Well, when you hear such a lively speech as yours, Mr. Kimmel, then I have no difficulty finding an answer. I think you have been very communicative. That sort of communicative ability means that you can bring about change, so you have been useful. Perhaps we can get a message across through films. There was a Rainbow series from Sylvester Stallone. He was the hero, the brave man who fights. And at the end of one of the Rambo films, he was crying. But 3 million TV viewers turned off at the end of the Rambo film when he was weeping because that didn't fit in with their image. He was supposed to be a hard man. So we get a clear message of what the situation is from that. Now, a year ago, we had Richard Gere with us here in the Tibet intergroup, and I'd never seen so many women in the room because Richard Gere was here with us. I mean, the room was packed. And but things have changed with Richard Gere as well. He was supposed to be this tall, brave, untouchable man, and all of a sudden he's changed his image. He's looking after a woman who's suffering from cancer. He became seen as a sympathetic, gentle man. And that leads you to change your way of thinking, change your outlook, change your attitude. I haven't got time to go into everything you said about images of white people, women, but there's been a change in cinema, a change in US films and Hollywood. Have there been sociological studies into that? So people are changing their images of men now through films. Could films and cinema be a part of the educational process? In the past, men in the household were caricatured. Now men in the house are seen as absolutely necessary because there's an equal share of work and household chores. Now, I'd like to know whether there are companies in the US, I don't know what's happening in the US, I know what's happening in the EU, are there companies following programs like Daphne or Equal, the programs we have in the Commission that bring about changes in mental attitude? Do you have anything similar in the US to Daphne or Equal, which bring about, through financial funding, changes in mental attitude?
Thank you. I think we'll ask a number of questions first. So we'll gather together a number of questions, so give you time to gather together your thoughts. Mrs. Torres-Marcus.
Thank you very much, Madam Chairman. We don't have much time, but I would like to thank you for having organised this initiative. I think it's an excellent idea. And what we're doing here is something slightly different, dealing with equality, but from the male viewpoint and what men have to gain. What I'm slightly worried about is, and perhaps we could have some explanations on what we can actually gain, what men can gain, if we couldn't actually get many men to come along to this meeting. We need to attract men into the whole issue of equality, I think, and I don't know how we can do that. Now, this question is particularly to the minister, which is on parental leave. In Portugal, we've got parental leave because we're in the European Union. That's one of the advantages of joining, in fact. Since then, Portugal has introduced this, but only in the public sector. In the private sector, parental leave doesn't exist. And what happens is that young men who are growing up now, who are actually interested in their children and would like to stay at home with them, have an important job, say, and they have problems in saying, I would like to have parental leave and go home and look after my children. And I think that this happens because even though ministers say, we want to have parental leave and we want to have men and women looking after children. But in the problem that we have, say, in Portugal, is that we have mostly men in government, and they actually feel that
it's a bit absurd for men to concentrate on child rearing rather than work. So what can we do? Do we need women to get into power? Do we need to have pretty much only women in power before fathers stay at home with their children? How can we change this mindset? Thank you. Mrs. Pretz.
Dankeschön, ja, ich möchte...
Thank you very much. I'd also thank you for those very interesting presentations this morning. There's one result I'd like to take home, so it should help us to show to men how they can make these privileges visible. We make it clear to men that they have to now be ready to give up these privileges, which have been invisible so far, and it proved to them that they would gain in this process of giving up these privileges. Often it's difficult to renounce privileges, especially if you don't even recognise them as being there in the first place. We're talking about a gaining from equality, but we want men at the same time to give up some of these privileges. But that's the struggle that we are engaged in. And I don't think there's much that men could object to. Obviously, men... try to be good fathers. They think that they are doing enough by being head of a family, by being the patriarch. They think that they're doing enough. They've got a good job, a good wage, and they spend some leisure time with their children, and they think that's more than sufficient. They think they are good fathers already. So unless we can change their images of themselves, unless we can get them to give up some of their privileges, there will be no gain for men. They have to lose something before they can gain something. And in Austria, it was clear last week, there is a man's department. In fact, we've got a male minister who is responsible for women's affairs, and he's created a men's department in the women's affairs ministry in order to be able to solve men's problems. This is Department 6, and the phone number of this men's department is 666. I could have imagined a different phone number. I don't know whether... sex in German. That's the phone number of the men's department. And in order to make this men's department in the Women's Affairs Ministry useful, perhaps it should work about what men actually would gain by gender equality. This would mean there's actually some point in having this sort of men's department, and then we could recommend it to other countries. The way it stands at the moment, it just shows men's poverty, really. They seem to think they're only going to lose through women being strengthened in society.
Thank you, Mrs. Gröner.
Ja, vielen Dank. Also ich finde es sehr gut, dass wir...
Thank you very much. I think it's very good that we are dealing with men's role, but I don't believe in this. I'm afraid. I have no confidence in this. I have been working in politics for practically 30 years now, and I can say from my experience that whenever we've been thinking about our strength as women, when we've been thinking about solidarity between women, we've been able to achieve something. We've been able to push legislation through. That's when we've pooled our strength. And then we've entered battle with men. They've been on the other side. We put pressure on them. And then they've reluctantly agreed to women's quotas, etc., but they didn't agree willingly. So we've always had to fight against them. They've always been the opposition. So I don't think we should fall into an open trap here. I mean, gender mainstreaming, I wouldn't condemn it, but it's not the only approach. I think we've got to carry on making our demands, making firm demands as women, making clear demands on behalf of women. Rather late in the day, Philippe Bousquet, our research commissioner, came along to our committee, to our women's committee, and there it's clear in the area of infotechnology, where a lot of money can be earned, women are underrepresented in information technology, for example. The 10 to 18% of women learning information technology at university, and actually fewer coming through the courses successfully. So it's a question of who has access to knowledge as well, who gets into the key positions in information technology companies. And women are really losing out there in the key new technologies. So we have huge tasks to address, and we've got to remember our own strength as women. My own political family was a president in Beijing with the slogan, "We want half of the sky, half of the earth, and half of the power." And the women in the southern hemisphere ticked me off. You should be asking for half of the seas as well. So we're still, I think, fighting, struggling to get a fair share in the first place. That's where our future lies. I don't think we can convince men that they will gain by gender equality. I think they'll learn it for themselves one day. But I think women have to carry on with their fight. I think that in psychological terms, women have learned that women's movements have over 90 years involved an awful lot of sacrifice, struggle, and strength. And we've got a new role for ourselves, women. Men haven't found a new role. I'm pleased to hear from male representatives today who are taking a new look, taking a new angle, who are rethinking men's roles. I'm glad that there is a rethinking going on among men, but I think there are a lot of difficulties on that path before that psychological process has been completed. But we as women have to carry on with the struggle in the meantime. We mustn't give up the battle.
Thank you. Now I've got two questions left, because we need to get replies after that. Marlene Björk from the European Women's Lobby, where are you? There you are. Go ahead, you have the floor. Yes, I too would like to echo the previous speaker, Lisi Gruna, on the F word. F as in feminism. Now, we have heard male researchers talk about feminism and feminist theory. Now, this is a central concept, and perhaps if we're in a seminar where we're talking about men and equality, we ought to look at it as well. Feminism is important because clearly it is a political struggle against injustice and in favour of equality. And it's particularly important to bear it in mind when we're talking about issues related to men and equality. The way that I see things is that we need to bear it in mind whenever we're fighting for equality between men and women, whenever we're coming up with analyses, we should have feminist analyses and feminist aims. And I think that women are extremely important as a social force, as it were, just as a force in general. Now, as an activist in a women's organisation, obviously we want to involve men as well, as many men as well as women, in what we do. I think that Mr. Kimmel and Mr. Hjalmert will have a Herculean task ahead of them when it comes to winning over their male comrades. And I don't think we should forget that we need mobilisation here. Women need to be mobilised, and women's organisations need to have greater support for their own mobilisation in this context. Thank you, Chair. Thank you. And Mrs. Scheller is the last speaker of the list.
Thank you very much. I'd look to pick up on what Lisi Gruna was saying, also pick up what the previous speaker was saying. Obviously, the women who've been involved in this struggle for equality and the few men who've been involved have still a great deal to do. But now to remind you that we have an International Women's Day, I'd say that the debate what we're holding here today is not heard in other parts of the world. It's not heard in Africa, where there's a huge AIDS problem. And I think it would be a huge step to increase the self-awareness of women in other continents of the world. We hold these debates here in the Northern Hemisphere, and we talk about a consciousness and awareness raising, and that's important for us, but it's also important in other parts of the world.
Thank you. I'll now give the floor to the two gentlemen, and then I'll let the minister wind up. Who wants to kick off, Lars? Yeah, I'm not.